Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, looking for the blessed hope. Follow along, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Our Father in heaven, these are your words, divinely inspired by your Holy Spirit, speaking of your grace through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we focus this morning on the 13th verse of this second chapter of the book of Titus, help each one of us to look for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have looked at verse 11, and we've looked at verse 12, and last week we learned that the grace of God teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and it teaches us that we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And we learn this, the grace teaches us, through the Word of God. And so this morning, right in the middle of these five verses about the grace of God, smack dab in the middle is verse 13, which is about the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's grace teaches us, dear loved ones, as we read here in this wonderful text, to look for the return of Jesus. Look at it. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand something this morning, and that is this, that the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, they're not two things. Dear loved ones, the blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus is coming back. Do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. And my prayer is, by the end of this message, that you will be looking forward to it. And matter of fact, we may continue to talk about this next week, because one of the things that people always ask me about is about the return of Jesus. What is it going to happen? And so this morning, I want you to know that God's Word makes it clear that Jesus Christ is going to appear, and He is going to appear in all the glory and majesty of His being. That is our blessed hope. Now, if you remember, a few Sundays ago, we talked about the word hope in our English language. And we talked about the fact that when you or I use the word hope, generally what we are talking about is a desired possibility. Something that we are not absolutely certain about, we hope that it will occur. But in God's Word, in Holy Scripture, when the Word of God uses this word hope, it is talking about an absolute reality. It is talking about an absolute certainty, but perhaps has not yet been fully realized. Dear loved ones, the return of Jesus Christ is so certain that it could not be any more certain than if He came back yesterday that He's going to come again. It is an absolute blessed hope. And what does that word blessed mean? Well, the choir just sang about it. The word blessed means to be filled with happiness. It means prosperity. It means richness. It means the highest good. Listen, all the great and glorious blessings imaginable is what the blessed hope of Jesus is. The blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ, is going to be filled with all the happiness imaginable. It is going to be all the prosperity imaginable. It is going to be all the richness of life imaginable. It is going to be all the blessings imaginable and more. Dear loved ones, if it were possible for us to imagine the highest good and all the richness of life possible, then the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be that, and it'll be far more. Much, much more. Now this morning, I want to share with you 8 wonderful truths about the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm probably not going to be able to get through all 8. And so rather than keep you and the chicken get cold, we'll probably stop somewhere in between. And we'll pick it back up next week. So you got to come next Sunday because you'll miss the final ones. And obviously, this is not an all-inclusive list. But listen, we talk about the promises of God at Traveler's Rest. We talk about the hope of God at Traveler's Rest. Everything that I am about to share with you, every verse of Holy Scripture that I'm going to share with you, is a promise from God to you, the child of God. If you're a born-again Christian, I am going to share with you absolute promises that God has made to you in His holy word. Now, here is the first truth. The return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to mean a glorious reunion. It is going to be a glorious union when Jesus comes. Listen, we're going to see Jesus Christ for the first time and be united with Him forever and ever. John chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus said this, and this is a promise that He gives to us when we're born again. Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, let me tell you something about this. This is a passage of Scripture that I share with people when it looks like they're about to go home with Jesus. It's a Scripture passage that I share very often in funeral services. Because when the time comes, whether it is a physical death or it is going to be the return of Jesus, He promises that He Himself will come for us. He is in heaven. And He is preparing a place. And dear loved ones, I want you to understand this. Just as the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Just as we have an appointment for birth, we have an appointment for death unless Jesus comes first. But Jesus says, when I am through preparing a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now, when we talk about the return of Jesus, We need to make a distinction here. Because Jesus is coming to this earth is going to be preceded by 2 events. It is going to be preceded by 7 years of tribulation. But before the tribulation, Jesus is going to come and rapture His church. He is going to call His church home. We are going to be united with Jesus. And so I want to make that distinction, and we're going to talk about the rapture of the church in just a few moments. But what I want you to understand is this, that children of God, brothers and sisters, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, since before the foundation of the world, Christ has planned to come for us. John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus, praying to the Heavenly Father on behalf of us, says this, Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me, for You have loved Me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is coming again. He's going to come and he's going to call us home. We are going to be united with Jesus, dear loved ones, whether it is through a physical death or whether it is through the rapture of the church. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, we are confident. Yes, we are well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We talk about people when they die and we say they have gone asleep in Jesus. But dear loved ones, don't think that that soul is sleeping in that body. Oh no, it's absent from the body and it is present with Jesus. So the return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will mean a glorious union with Jesus. Folks, listen, when that time comes, whether it be when we leave this physical body or whether it be when Jesus comes and takes us away, we are going to know what the psalmist meant when he wrote these wonderful, comforting words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why will we fear no evil? For you are with me. The shepherd is with us. Jesus Christ is with us. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd is with us when we go through that valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you, Jesus, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear loved ones, when Jesus comes for us, we're going to understand so much more what the hymn writer meant when he wrote, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Jesus is coming back. He may come for us before he returns to set up his kingdom on earth, but dear loved ones, he's coming back. Now here's the next truth that I want you to get. The return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will mean a glorious reunion. Listen, the dead in Christ will rise. And we who live will be reunited with all our loved ones and friends forever and ever. Now this is what I meant when I talked about the rapture of the church that will precede the return of Jesus placing his feet on this earth. You won't find the word rapture in the Bible, but that does not mean the Bible does not teach it. You will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. But God's word clearly teaches that God is triune, that he is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, one in essence, three in person. And we find the teaching of the rapture of the church in God's word. We look all the way back to the book of Genesis and we read about a man named Enoch who walked with the Lord and was no more. God raptured him from the earth. We read about Elijah whom God raptured in a whirlwind. And we read in Thessalonians and Corinthians and even in the Gospel of John and in the book of Revelation that God is going to rapture his church. Jesus is going to remove his church from this earth. You know, we bury our loved ones. Sometimes our loved ones have their ashes cremated. Sometimes they are scattered. Sometimes there are just tragedies and the remains of believers are lost. They're just beyond recovery. We know that over here in this older cemetery that there are graves of bodies that were buried in wooden boxes and there's probably nothing left but some old iron nails. It has returned to the earth. But dear loved ones, the day is coming when Jesus is going to resurrect those bodies. Listen, we believe that this is going to happen before Jesus comes back. God's Word tells us that because in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, Jesus is speaking to the church when he says, because you have kept my command to persevere. To persevere in what? To persevere in the faith of the gospel of Jesus. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of the trial. That's the time of tribulation that is going to come, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Listen, Jesus is going to test. He is going to judge those who have not accepted him. And he isn't going to judge his church. Because he judged his church where? On the cross of Calvary. We're going to miss that time of tribulation. Listen to what it sounds like, what's going to happen when Jesus comes for his church before he returns to the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 says this. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible talks about a physical body dying as simply falling asleep? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Jesus those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That caught up is literally means raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Let me break it down to you, Christian. Someday, and that day may be today, the Father's going to say to his Son, Son, I've just about had enough of that world. Son, I want you to go get your church and bring them home. And Jesus is going to descend from the glories of heaven with all of the Christians who've gone on before us. Their spirits are going to come with them. And as he comes down, he is going to resurrect those bodies. There may be nothing left, but he is going to resurrect a body. And those bodies are going to come up. And just as they're coming to the surface, we're going up too. We're going to meet Jesus in the clouds. And those resurrected bodies of those saints who've gone on to glory are going to be put together with their spirit. And they're going to be transformed into glorified bodies. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But dear loved ones, that day's coming. And I tell you, when I look at this world, and when I see the ugliness, and the hatred, and the division, and the wickedness, and the ungodliness, and the lawlessness, I can't help but think that Jesus is going to come for his church soon. Now, I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but it may. It may not be in our lifetime. It may be in the lifetime of those little children that are meeting in the basement. It may be before we sing the final hymn today. Dear loved ones, I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm not trying to manipulate anyone, but if Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior, you better come to faith in him today. Don't you wait another moment. Satan will tell you, you sit there. You don't come. You don't need to do it today. You could do it next Sunday. Let me tell you something, friends. Next Sunday may be the time that the tribulation comes. You want to come to Jesus because he offers grace. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now here's the third truth, and it's going to be the final truth today, so we're going to share five of them next Sunday. Or if need be, we'll share them a little bit through the following Sunday, because we don't want to rush through this. So here's the third truth. The return of our great God and Savior Jesus will mean a glorious transformation of body. Think about this, dear loved ones. We're going to receive a new, incorruptible, eternal body. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 49 through 53. As we have been born in the image of the man of dust. Who's the man of dust? It's Adam, right? God created Adam from the dust of the earth. We have been born in the image of Adam and ladies Eve. As we have been born in the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, this old body that we're wearing right now, we're just wearing it. You look at me, you ain't seeing Scott. Scott's inside. You're just seeing Scott's body and his body. Well, we'll leave it at that. But dear loved ones, this body of flesh and blood, it ain't going to heaven like it is. It's, you know, when we get saved, we're redeemed. We are born again, but we look the exact same, do we not? Because this body of flesh and blood has not been redeemed. It is still corruptible flesh. The reason we sin is because of the flesh. So this body can't go to a perfect place like it is. So it says, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now this again, this is a look at the rapture of the church. This is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And he says this, we shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. Now, how long is it going to take for us to be changed from this old flesh and blood body to a glorified body? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now, it doesn't say in the blink of an eye. It says in the twinkling of an eye. And when I think the twinkling of the eye, I'm thinking the amount of time it takes for the light to refract off of my pupil. And folks, that means it's going to be like 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light. So it's going to be instantaneous. For the trumpet will sound. And the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Dear loved ones, when those bodies are resurrected, they're going to be transformed into glorified bodies. And as they're coming up and we're getting ready to go up, these bodies are going to instantaneously be transformed into glorified bodies. Think about that. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, for whom God foreknew. Who did God foreknow? The elect. Who are the elect? Whosoever believeth in him. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Folks, we are not going to be just have a glorified body. Our glorified body is going to be just like the image of the Son of God. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven. Don't you love that? You know what? We're not naturalized citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven because we're born again. Just like we were born in the United States, and therefore we're citizens of the United States, and Sunja became a citizen of the United States. Dear loved ones, we're citizens of heaven because we have been born again by the Spirit of God. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Listen to this one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Jesus as He is. We don't have a full understanding of what our glorified body is going to be like, but we're going to be just like Jesus. And you know what I read when I read about the resurrection of Jesus in Luke's gospel and John's gospel? I can tell you some things that our glorified bodies are going to be just like Jesus. Folks, we're going to be recognizable in our glorified bodies. I'm going to know you. You're going to know me. We're going to know people who we've never set eyes on before. We're going to recognize them like we've known them all our lives. We're going to know Jesus when we see him. Not only that, but we read that in his resurrected, glorified body, Jesus ate. And so we're going to be able to eat, and we're going to be able to talk, and we're going to be able to walk. But you know what? We are not going to be constricted by the physical restrictions we now have. You know, in our present bodies, there's things we can't do. But Jesus and his glorified body appeared and disappeared at will. He was able to enter into that upper room when the door was locked. And so, friends, we'll be able to do those things and so much more. Listen, the return of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will mean a glorious union with Jesus. The return of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will mean a glorious reunion. We're going to be reunited with all of our families and friends and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will mean a glorious transformation of our bodies. We're going to receive a new body. It's going to be incorruptible. It is going to be an eternal body. Oh, my dear friends, do you know and love and trust Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul? Is there any doubt in your mind that if Jesus was to come today for his church, that you'd be left behind? If there's any doubt, if there's any hesitation, I want you to come to faith in Jesus today. I want you to ask Jesus to save you. Join me as we bow our heads and hearts. Father, we thank you for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know not when that day will be, but we so look forward to it. And dear friend, if you're here today, and you want to ask Jesus to save you, would you begin to pray right now? You might say, Pastor, I'd love Jesus to save me, but I don't even know what to do. Just talk to him. He's waiting to hear from you. You don't even have to pray out loud, because he knows your heart, he knows your mind. Just tell him that you want him to save you, that you'll turn from your sins. You might pray something like this. You might say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know that I deserve your judgment. But Jesus, I want your grace. Jesus, I believe you died to save me. And you promised to save me if I would trust you. Jesus, today I will trust you to save me. I believe you paid my sin debt with your blood on the cross. I believe God raised you from the dead. Right now, this moment, with all of my heart, I turn from my sin and I come to you by faith. Jesus, make me the person you would have me to be. Give me the strength to never be ashamed of you. Jesus, because you died for me, I will live for you.